Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to what I promise will be another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Thanks for joining us tonight on this beautiful Sunday night here in the Upper Midwest. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, across the way, George P. Fraser. Hello, George.
I'm here.
George, I broke a new record today.
Tell me about it.
This is the most consecutive days I've been alive.
Good for you, Bill.
Yeah, it's a new record. George, you know, when I...
I'll buy you dinner tonight.
Yeah, I know you will. George, when I'm with you, I often feel like talking to you, but sometimes when I'm with you, I'd rather be looking at my phone. No offense.
What time is this?
But I'm just saying, our guest tonight is someone I always like talking to. I never want to be on my phone when I'm with him. And we're going to have a great show coming up.
I am really looking forward to our show tonight.
Yes.
Interesting topic. Very interesting guy. An hour is not long enough for this guy.
Can I drop a hint as to what tonight's show is about?
Drop a hint.
Addicted to performance. Addicted to performance. That's the hint.
I like it.
Yeah. George, we on Real Recovery always like to talk about a step. If you're a new listener to the show, thanks for listening. George, give them a...
And if you're an old listener, thanks for listening, too. You know, we don't want them to tune out because we didn't thank them, Billy.
Well, thanks for listening.
Especially if they're related to us. Anyway, here we go with step three.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
We make a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. And the reason we do that is because we can't run this on our own. But, Bill, tonight I think one of the things we're going to talk about is if Jesus is going to be my Savior, He has to be Lord over all areas of my life. And you and I were talking about idols this week. Can you give us a definition of idols? Because I think sometimes we miss that.
Well, don't we talk about them as God substitutes?
Yes.
Don't we say an idol is something that emerges to the surface and all of a sudden becomes more important that we meet that we want that idol in our life than we want God?
Yeah,
or it becomes more of a priority.
And when we work with guys at the Salvation Army and in some recovery ministries, a lot of times guys think that an idol is a golden calf. They don't have one of those, so they're not guilty of this. But it's anything that takes our heart away from God, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in 1 Kings 3, Solomon prays for wisdom, and he says, God, give me a heart that can discern right from wrong. And you think, well, wait a minute. This Solomon was a king. He was smart, and yet he still wants wisdom as to what's right and what's wrong. So wisdom is more than just right and wrong. It's knowing how to make the right kind of decision, taking the right course of action. And our guest tonight is going to talk all about that when he comes on the show.
Oh, it's going to be a great story. On this step, and once again, we're looking at, we believe that all Christians are in recovery, whether you had a drug problem or not. And if you did have a drinking or drug problem and you stopped doing it, that is great. But if you don't have Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior, you really don't have eternal life, you don't have forgiveness of sins, and you really don't have recovery. We believe that addiction is idolatry and that recovery without Jesus Christ is still idolatry. You might have stopped a behavior, but if you haven't developed a relationship with the living God, you're missing the big picture.
George, it says in Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. There's wisdom for you.
There is. And should I be committing myself to something that God's not in? My guess is we're going to get a little bit of that tonight, too.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a person that has been kind of addicted to performing, addicted to success and making life better for you at the expense of other things, you definitely want to stay tuned tonight.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about sin itself being addicting. And we take this, I did anyway, from Tim Keller, Bill, that sin is like an addiction in that there's tolerance. You might do a little something, but then you've got to do more and more and more to get the same impact. And there is withdrawal when you stop doing it. There's withdrawal from that. And so sin itself is an addiction. I get used to it. I can't stop it. I'd like to, but I can't. Does it interfere with life areas like we would look at a DSM-5 diagnosis for addiction? Yeah. Does it affect your job? Does it affect your relationship? Does it affect your health? Yes, yes, and yes. So it is. It mirrors. Sin mirrors addiction completely.
We were trying to act like licensed counselor there when you're dropping those DSM-5 stuff.
I sent my money in.
I know, but explain to people what that is.
What?
DSM-5.
Well,
you just can't drop that kind of information, George.
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, and I got it from you.
Well, you got it from me?
Yeah, I think you stole it out of somebody's office, but, you know.
I don't remember
that. We should have a night in here where we diagnose ourselves. I'm in there on every other page.
It should be a very short program. Let's go back to another passage out of Psalms, George, 94, Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19. It says, when I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. And I know our guest tonight had some anxiety within him, and it was great. So it's all pieces of the puzzle, George. I'm fitting all this in.
Well, you're setting it up good.
Well, I'm trying to, as a professional.
Yeah. So idols, when you work with people with idols, how do you present to them that they're going the wrong way, and no matter how successful they are in that venture, it's going to come up short?
Well, I think it connects to their level of satisfaction in life. I think it comes down to how much contentment they have, how much joy they have. And if you don't have that, doesn't matter what you got in the success department or the materialism department, you know, it doesn't matter. There's a great story I've heard about William Randolph Hearst, the great publishing magnate. I think that's the right name for him. And he was an avid art collector, and he found this piece of art he wanted his curator to buy for him. And he said, so go get this piece of art for me. And the curator came back a few days later and said, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is it's not for sale. The good news is you already own it.
Mm.
So it's like you've got all this stuff, and it's still not enough. You're still looking for more. You don't even know what you have.
I like that.
And I think it applies, too, when you come to faith in Christ. You don't know who you are in Christ. You need to find out, because there's a treasure in there, and it transforms your life. It makes you speak truth into your heart when you get God's word in your bones, and that makes a difference.
Well, you know, we're talking a little bit about performance addiction, performance-based acceptance. It's real hard for a lot of us that we're saved by faith, not by works, that he loves us unconditionally and not just for what we do. And that's foreign to us, Bill.
It is. It absolutely is.
I was waiting for a little more on that than an agreement. I don't care if you agree with me,
well,
Earl,
I was looking at my phone at the time.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, and you were talking, so I was looking at my phone.
Alex, you can jump in.
Yeah, feel free to jump in, Alex. You were probably paying attention.
Yeah.
See, he wasn't either. He wasn't. You're 0 for 2.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, it was a good point. I think we move on from there.
I think we do, George. I think we do. How does anger all tie into this, too?
Well, I'm getting kind of angry myself right now.
No, I'm speaking about anger in terms of
it's being addicting.
It is addicting.
Well, of course, there's a little adrenaline shot. You know, you can unload, and there's a release. There's a physiological pleasure for me when I lose it. And afterwards, of course, the remorse and, you know, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. But at the time, gosh, you know, there's a physiological response of adrenaline release that's kind of enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. George, here's something out of Proverbs, which I like. It says in Proverbs 14, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. I don't know how to...
Keep reading.
I'm done there, George.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done there. But I think we talk about wanting peace, wanting tranquility, wanting the peace that Jesus gives that the world does not understand. And when you're in turmoil, when you're committed to performance, you're not going to be at peace.
Well, you have to keep doing it.
And then when is it enough? When have you had enough? When is it working?
You know, I remember you're going to quote famous Americans about their art collection. How about Dwayne Thomas, Super Bowl with the Cowboys when he's a rookie? And a reporter asked him a question, and he said, if the Super Bowl is so super, why do they play one every year? And it was almost blasphemy to football fans, but he's right. We have to keep doing what we did. We can't, you know, stop, and it's never good enough. The one thing in my life that has been good enough is my relationship with the Lord. And tonight we've got a guy on that's a friend of ours who's had a tough life, even though it was very successful. And I didn't know him then, but I know him now. He's my Bible study leader. And what joy we have in being able to share what God has done in his life.
Mm-hmm. Great story coming up, and we're
great
gonna
story.
Yeah, we're going to take a really short break, and then we're going to bring him on because we got a couple segments coming up you're just not going to want to miss. You're listening to Real Recovery Tonight. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex on the board. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
And his head fell behind her as his arm had reached around.
Here we go. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Thanks for hanging with us tonight. Bill Arnold, George Fraser. We're having an interesting talk tonight about addicted to performance. And that can be an idol that can creep into your life and it can become front and center. And then disaster comes from there because you've got your life out of balance because Jesus is not at the center.
Yes. And You can be addicted to success or, in my case, failure, too. There's just a lot of performance issues that, that come here. So
we're not here to talk about you, though, George.
I'm done talking about me, Bill.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this is a great story, and you're right. It just wasn't good enough. And you'd hear it and go, gosh, the guy had everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Real Recovery, we love to talk about lives that have been transformed and souls that have been saved. And I think that is the strength of evangelism, how we share our hope and the good news with others. And our guest tonight in studio is our friend Brace. And Brace is grew up in a very performance-driven, oriented family. And it was, there's good news and bad news to that, isn't there, Brace? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for having me. So I grew up with a father who, you know, was quite successful as a football player for the University of Minnesota. My dad, Jerry, was an All-American football player and a two-time discus champion, Big Ten champion. And he was always searching through performance for his self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And really, ultimately, I believe, to be loved. Okay, so he, you know, that song, Searching in All the Wrong Places. Well, that was my dad,
mm-hmm.
and he went on to be successful financially as well. And so I watched this as a child, and I modeled his seeking performance, and that became my mantra. That became my idol, as you've been talking about in the earlier. In the earlier part here of, idols in life. And so my idol was, it was probably my dad. And through him, I saw that performance would take you places,
mm-hmm.
and people would lift you up. And so that became my model. That became actually my idol in life was performance through sports. Performance through accolades of any kind. And so I went on to be fairly successful in tennis. Tennis was my sport. Some people don't call that a sport, but it was my sport. And it became my idol. And then beyond sport, it became then making money, just like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all through that I was chasing what I thought was success and what I thought was going to make me happy.
Okay, now, and I want to roll you back here a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that is self-validating in that it is being successful, does have a lot of rewards. When you were going up through high school, tell us about the tennis. Did your teams win state titles? Did you?
Yeah. No, we won the state title, and then I won some titles in the Big Ten championships at the University of Minnesota, and then I went on to do some things. I played on the professional tennis tour.
So you had success after high school. I got a friend who won a state high school tennis title, and that was as good as it ever got for him. I mean, he never did anything after that. So you did.
So he kind of flamed out?
Yeah, but he had his moment, you know.
And then that moment passed.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't even remember who the guy is. But
and that moment will pass for every athlete. And that's the point of this, is that the performance ends and the fulfillment ends And there's no peace in that.
Right. But at the time, here you go, you're knocking off some goals, and you have had success, and you are achieving them, and you're a good-looking guy, and you're gregarious.
That's
sorry,
debatable.
Bill, he can talk well, and people like him, you know, and you're funny, and you don't get angry easily at people, annoyed maybe, but... And it's self-validating. You're kind of the guy. You go to the University of Minnesota, and you're kind of a guy. You know, you got it going, don't you?
Yeah. Well, and so having followed in my dad's footsteps and my brother's footsteps, my brothers were good players. My sister was a good player. She played on the tennis tour. So, you know, there was this false sense of achievement that – that's really, I guess there is secularly or earthly, there was real achievement there. But that was everything, okay? All of myself, my identity was tied up in that. So when that performance ends, then what do you have? And I can remember when my tennis career was over at the University of Minnesota, I felt a real lostness about my life. And that was one of the first times that I started searching for the Lord.
Yeah, the collapse of an idol is always going to leave a person pretty much in despair.
Yep.
Especially if there's no faith evident at that point. And, you know, and I certainly don't want to demonize him in any way to make it sound like all he was modeling was success and achievement, because there's some good news attached to that.
Yes.
It's nice to have a dad that's got his act together and likes to work hard and likes to achieve things and models that to his kids. That's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it's the American dream.
It is. It is.
And if you work hard enough, you can get it. What's interesting to me is when we have people on the show, Bryce, that have had success, and even though they get everything they want, it's not enough. So it kind of goes to show that we don't know what we really want.
Mm-hmm.
But when that goes away, the tennis, my guess is you looked for another avenue to succeed in.
Right.
And what was that?
Well, and so then I went into real estate and became fairly successful in real estate. And that was fulfilling. But again, only to a point. And ultimately, I was building my own business and again, very, very self-focus. See, the thing about sports, if you don't have a groundedness in the Lord, it becomes so self-focused that is everything for you, and you become so one-dimensional. And again, when that ends, you're left, if you haven't found this balance, as you were referring to earlier, Billy, then you're left with nothing. At least you feel like you're left with nothing, okay? Because that sport or those finances or the success in business don't continue to feed you. And so that can be taken away. And so the sport, okay, for me, there was a physical limitation, and that's why I couldn't go on and play on the tour,
okay?
So I was left with that moment of despair, that transition. What do I have now? So I had to redirect myself, and I did that into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And that became everything for me. And I was one of those guys that went after it like a sport. And it was, I would work 7 days a week, okay? And no, I wasn't going to church on Sunday.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. No, I was all one-dimensional.
Open houses that day, aren't
there? Yeah, that's right. And so that went on for a while, and there was a lot of success there until the Lord wanted to get my attention. He tried to get my attention, you know, with the sports by giving me the inability to continue physically. I had some back problems and some just issues that would not allow me to play on the tour. And so that stopped me in my tracks. Well, he stopped me in my tracks about 10 years later, and without all the details, he took my business away from me. So now I'm at another point of despair, okay? And now I start searching for the Lord again. And so that that reoriented me back towards the Lord, and I started pursuing the Lord, and then life went on a little bit.
How did you pursue the Lord? How did you go about that?
Well, you know, I reached out to different people, and they got me into some Bible studies, and they got me into the Word, and they, you know, and I started to, you know, get more focused on the Lord. But, you know, you end up, when you don't have that foundation, and I believe this is really important, given to you by your father, because fathers have such an influence, and we're given, as fathers, we're given such a responsibility as a leader of your family. And I don't think most guys understand the brevity of that.
Mm.
And so I didn't have that fundamentally, okay? And so I would, you know, when your father comes alongside you and says, you know, the Lord is what it's all about, that has a huge impact on a son, on a daughter. I never had that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's part of my message is one of my greatest commissions in life now as the father of six children, they are my greatest commission. That is the legacy that I can impact that for generations to follow. And it starts with me.
Mm.
And when I take up that responsibility, then I am acknowledging the gift that God has given me. And that was never imparted on me. So what I'm getting at is my faith was built on sand in these times when I would come back and my performance failed me. I would go there out of, you know, that temporary, I need a fix,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it never had real deep roots early on, okay? And so the Lord would, you know, when I would kind of gather myself and feel like I got it going again.
You bet.
He'd hit me with something else. And the next one was I had cancer. I missed one. I lost a child, okay? In my first marriage, I lost a child after 3 days. And that was a wake-up call, big time. And it brought me back to the Lord. And I learned things through that. And I remember reading through the eulogy, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. And I didn't completely get that, but I remember reading that, and I've learned what that means in later years. And so then a divorce followed, and then cancer followed, and I have and then I lost my best friend in a snowmobile accident. So you have these different episodes in life that stack up, and they are God's way of reaching you, and these things about performance start to pale in comparison to the depth of knowing Jesus Christ. And you start to look at these episodes in your life, and you start to understand that God's just trying to get your attention. And all of these episodes are ways of Jesus, of God drawing you into Him. And you start to understand that this journey that you're on, it has so very little to do with you, and all to do with Him. And I never understood that, but it took me all these episodes of understanding that, you know what, this isn't about me. But when you go back and you talk about the idols, And you talk about sports performance, business performance, that stuff is all earthly, and it's all horizontal focused, and it's all self-focused. And you look at these athletes, and I'm not saying this across the board, but It is something where you are so prone to becoming all about you and all about the performance. Now, it is possible if you're given a good model in a father to find a balance, because God does want you to perform at your best, but for him and not for yourself. And therein lies the huge difference that a good father, an earthly father, can have in directing you to your heavenly father and allowing you to feel okay about a performance that is oriented for him. And then you are doing his work. You're doing the Great Commission. Because I hate to think about what some people thought about me as I was a kid, and it was all about Brace.
Well, we're going to be taking some calls on that subject in a minute.
We've got all the lines lit up, so we're going to have to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to have more with Brace Helgeson. Thanks for being with us tonight on Real Recovery. Hope you're enjoying tonight's show. It is a gorgeous night out there. Get some fresh air. Roll the window down. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George, Alex. We're talking to Brace Helgeson tonight, and we're having a very interesting conversation. Brace was talking about the significance of a father on a young child and how a father can introduce a young child's heart and mind to the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, you're going to work a little harder in life. I think you're going to struggle in ways that you might not. And I think of when Jesus was baptized, and he comes out of the waters of baptism, and the heavens part, the dove descends, and the voice of God can be heard. It says, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And I think that's what every son needs to hear from a dad. You're my boy. I love you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And when you have that wisdom and that love and that acceptance from an earthly father, you go out into the world in strength.
Yep.
And I think that your dad was obviously an exceptional man, an athlete, a performer on so many levels. But the spiritual piece was missing when you were a boy.
Yes.
So you modeled performing, and boy, you were the golden boy, because everything you touched worked. And then along comes suffering in a way that is really big.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed the first part of the show, there was a loss of a child, loss of some health, loss of a business, and loss of a marriage.
All boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And let's go back to Dad very quickly.
Yeah.
That generation of fathers, you know, the American dream, he achieved it. And he was trying to do what the world said was success. And he achieved it.
Right.
For you, you were achieving it too. And then God allowed the cancer, the divorce, the loss of the business. And all of a sudden, you got to be in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. When you found out you had cancer, can you tell us what that was like?
Well, it was coupled with literally going through the beginning of my divorce. So it was kind of a double hit at the time. And I had two beautiful young daughters. And so
how old were you, Bryce?
I was 35, 36. No, I'm sorry. I was 39. And So, it was despair. There was a lot of loneliness, a lot of I was afraid because I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and the chemotherapy treatment for that, there's a 85% chance that you will be that you will survive, and a 15% chance that the chemotherapy you will not respond to it. And so I remember the day that I got the news that I was a responder.
Nice.
Yeah. But leading up to that, I had nobody there. There was nobody. I didn't have my family or my wife there. I was going through it. I lived in a home by myself. And
a 12,000 square foot home. I saw that house, by the way.
Well, don't you remember the I lost my business too?
Yeah, and you were down to a 9,000 square foot house.
So it was, it was a daunting time.
Mm-hmm. So Brace, a lot of the times, you know, the answers you get are based on the questions you ask. What questions were you asking in your solitude, in your aloneness? What were you? What questions were you asking?
I was asked.
Were you doing the why me stuff?
Well, I was. I was. I've never done the why me too much ever in life. I was doing why. I don't know. I don't do the why me. I do the why though. Why is this mm-hmm. happening?
Okay.
So I was looking.
You're trying to look for the bigger picture.
Yeah. I was okay. Like, okay. So what is this all about? But there still was at that time, there was still this, you know, I can do this. You know, I can, you know, when you do that whole performance thing yeah. your whole life.
Yeah. Golden Boy says this, I can make this work.
I got this.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know, and so I got this starts to wear out
mm-hmm.
and wear thin when the answers keep coming up, you know, tough. And, so that's what I was asking is why. Why is this? And I because I had had some exposure to the Lord mm-hmm. through some of my previous episodes, you know, I was turning to Him, and again, where I needed to go was to build my faith on the rock, not mm-hmm. the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was moving from the sand to the rock in these times, and trying to deepen my faith. And really searching. So the whys and the searching was really, the volume was turned way up. Yeah.
I like that. I think the recovery and the relationship with Christ very often starts with, I got this. No, I don't have this at all. And I'm going to spend eternity in hell. And I'm very scared. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. Maybe I'm willing to look at Jesus a little
right.
bit. Did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there, it did. Absolutely.
And how did you respond to that? How did you, you know, you're an all-in guy. Mm-hmm. You're just not a tap your toe on something and that's good. How did you delve deeper into your faith?
Well, you know, so I went through my divorce and then, you know, I honestly have to give credit to my second wife. She really kind of not introduced me to my faith, but turned up the volume on it. And it was through her that I really started to come to the Lord in a deeper way. And then we got married. And then we had our first child, and through all of that, I have seen my faith grow in ways that it hadn't before. So, you know, some people say they accepted the Lord and then their life just took off. I've had to phase myself in,
mm-hmm.
you know, this thing about going from the sand to the rock. And so my wife, Danelle, has had a huge impact on me that way. And then the advent of our child into our life, Sophie, has really brought in, just a new level of faith too. And I was just teaching Sunday school. I teach Sunday school for her today. And it's just such a, I mean, it's so humbling to me to sit there and look at how I can, through being a father of Sophie, also teach these other kids about Jesus and the importance of influencing these young kids. It's just, it was this morning, it was just really cool seeing all these kids look at you and you go, now this is what I really Ooh. Yearned for when yeah. I was a kid. Mm-hmm. If my dad would have, you know, and yes, you're right, Billy. My dad was an awesome guy.
Totally.
I mean, he, he was not only he was a great performer, but he was the captain of the football team at the University of Minnesota. So he was a really likable guy. He was a leader.
He had it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about my dad and that he didn't have the spiritual peace in his life, I'm not throwing him under the bus.
I know you're not.
I'm just saying that peace is so critical in the trajectory of the kids.
Yeah, because those kids this morning, their minds are just sponges, aren't they?
Yeah,
and they've got Brace up telling them about the love of Jesus.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it's almost hard for you to believe sometimes that that's the job you had this morning.
Yeah,
yeah.
And watching their eyes look at you, and they're holding on every word you're talking about when you're talking about Jesus' love mm-hmm. and how he died for us. And I ask them, I say, now would you die for anybody? And they're like, well, I don't know. and you start to see these guys, they're building, you're helping build their faith, which is going to have this ripple effect,
mm-hmm.
that generational effect. What we're doing is affecting lives generations down the road. When you think of it, that is hugely humbling, just so humbling. And then when you take that to a father's role, it's amazing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah.
It's a great story. We started off, Brace, with step three, which talks about turning our will and our life over to the care of God. And what it really means is we get out of being the center of the universe and let that be taken by God, which is the center of the universe. Who is the center of the universe? And you're describing that happening in your life. And a lot of us come to this not in an instant where we get hit with a lightning bolt, but there was a few years there where you got your attention and you got in, and then maybe some success clouded it, so you yep. put it on the back burner.
Yep.
And then you meet your wife,
mm-hmm.
and she turned the volume up, as she said.
Yeah.
Spiritually, what did she have that you wanted?
You know, God speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through experiences, and he speaks through people, okay? And he just spoke through my wife in a way that, you know, sometimes you can only describe it for yourself, but it just connected with me. And I loved my wife in a way that, because this was so important to her, I wanted to connect with her and honor her. And I think that was God's way. The marriage is a very sacred covenant, and I think God uses marriage to get us guys to grow up and mature. And because I think most married men would say, you know, they're a heck of a lot less of a man without their wife. And God has that covenant set up. And it works if you listen and you become less selfish.
Wow, that's key.
Yeah.
Key is to listen.
The key is to listen.
Yeah. We're going to take one short break. When we come back, we have one more segment with Brace. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Recovery. Thanks for being with us tonight. Hate to interrupt Cinnamon Girl, but we are back. Real Recovery. George, say you left your book in the studio last week, Seven Habits of Highly Negative People. You want to take that home tonight.
Thanks for letting me know that.
Yeah, it's here.
Because I had a positive week. It was a little off this week. I was pretty happy.
A little sticky
yeah.
note on it.
Yeah.
It says George's book. Anyway, we're talking to Brace Helgeson tonight. Brace has got such a great story, such a great beginning with a dad that modeled performance, but not necessarily gave him spiritual roots. And so he is now becoming a dad that is putting spiritual roots down into the lives of his children and the Sunday school that he teaches and a Bible study he leads. And suffering has gotten his attention in a way that nothing else does, George. Suffering gets you focused quickly, doesn't it?
Well, people say suffering is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And even the secular rationalist philosophers don't use the argument anymore, there is no God because he allows suffering. Sounds like some pretty good things came out of your suffering.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses is Romans 8:28. You know, he works all things for good for those who trust in him. So I don't count any of these episodes in my life as anything but gifts. And, you know, like losing my child, Melina. Remember last year when our fellow brother in our Bible study lost his child?
William.
Yeah, William. And so I was able to witness to him, not knowing, you know, 15 years ago that, you know, God has a plan for everything. And I was able to witness to our brother, Tony, in a way that, well, Tony has told me he will never forget how, and it's not about me, but how that was so impactful to him, because he was at a place where he didn't know what to do, and he's recovering, and we're trying to speak into him at a time when he's just lost a child. And because I had that experience, I was able to speak into him. When people have cancer, I step up and I reach out to them. When people go through difficult times financially, when people, athletes are struggling, I'm able to speak into their lives. When people have gone through divorces or are contemplating one, I'm able to speak into those situations. So these are all things that can be worked for good if you embrace them and you look for the good in all of them. So I don't count any of them mistakes. I count all of them stepping stones to maturity in Christ.
All right, George, I have an observation here. One thing about Brace, which I seem to always recognize, is that he is not a guy that lives in fear. He's been a fearless competitor ever since I've known you. And you look at fear in the eye and say, bring it on. From what I can tell, mm-hmm. Now some of these experiences that you talk about has given you an understanding of brokenness that you can step into other people's brokenness and talk to them in a loving, confident way. And I think because you kind of have dealt with fear over so many occasions, so many different times.
I would say, and I've just known you 2 years, there's a swagger with a lot of softness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very attractive package. You lead the Bible study. I mean, Bill knows that. And it's a Lamplighters Bible study. But there's a lot of joy there. But there's always an openness and a humility, Bill, and a sharing of vulnerable things that most guys wouldn't share. And I think the reason you do that, at least in my life and for the guys in our group, you were talking about Tony, is to lift other people up with your experiences where you've stumbled. And it's very attractive for that, because we all stumble, and you share how you did stumble on your own, but how Jesus lifted you up. And you have a real positive, joyful spirit, Bill.
Well, and you know, to thank you, but I would say this, that fear, okay, there's a human level of fear that I think I have been able to overcome through my performance, you know, just understanding how to be able to perform under pressure, okay, but there's a God fearing that I have learned through knowing Jesus Christ and through knowing the Lord. That God-fearing, that is something that I think takes you to a whole nother level, because you're no longer relying on your lack of fear. You're relying on God has got my back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I am going to be – see, I was taught incorrectly by my father that fear that they speak of in the Bible is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned that it's a reverence, that when you are God fearing, you become obedient to him. And when you are in obedience to him, you have nothing to fear, because you know that he's got your back.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that thing about not having fear in a performance base, okay? But I think that that's a flesh-learned fear or ability. But there is a whole nother level of reverence of God and God-fearing that separates that kind of that man-made ability.
Now, Brace, one of the things, another observation I'm having, is you went from being kind of addicted to performance to now treating everything you do as sort of an act of worship to God.
Yes.
You're still going to want to do your best. You're going to want to be out there in the workplace with excellence, right, doing the very best work you can do and giving God glory for the gifts he's given you.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you do now as an act of worship.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the difference, George, is from addicted to performance to taking the gifts and saying to God, they're yours. You know, apart from me, I can do nothing.
Yeah, and you're still a real active, fun guy, a golfing guy, a Bible study guy. And now that the weather's warmer, I hope you go with the Helgi highlights again in your hair like you did last summer. So, you know, we'd be let down by that. Before the show ends, Bill, I want to get back to Dad. Is your father still living?
No. My dad passed away last year, in fact.
What was your dad's name?
Jerry Helgeson.
Okay. Yeah. So what was Jerry's last few days like?
Well, yeah, so this is kind of a big deal. You know, we have such a loving, merciful, and gracious God, and I got to witness that in his last 3 days. So as I've expressed throughout the session here today, you know, Dad he was not born again. I tried to witness to him many times, and he said, you know, Brace, don't worry. I know I'm going to heaven. And I would challenge him a little bit on that, because he was one in the camp of Jesus was a great man. And I would challenge him, and I would say, "Well, no, Dad, you can't. He's either a lunatic and a liar, or he is who he says he is." And he didn't want to have that discussion. So, in his last days, he had fallen, and Dad was a big man. And when Dad fell, things broke. And he broke his hip, and he was in extreme pain. And before they gave him the morphine, okay, and that's really important here, so that you understand that he wasn't on a morphine high when he was experiencing what I'm about to tell you. His wife, who was not a believer, she walked out of the room. He had just had this woman. Dad was a really good singer too. I mean, there was nothing my dad couldn't do. He was even a good singer, and so he loved music. So this woman came and she was singing to him. And just after she left, Dad was in the room by himself, and he was talking to somebody. And Madeline, his wife, came into the room, and she said, "Jerry, who are you talking to?" And Dad said, "Well, I'm talking to God." And she said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yeah. You know, I wish that everybody could feel the kind of love, unconditional love, that I feel right now. And I wish the whole world could feel this love that I'm experiencing right now." And so that's my interpretation, that God finally got to my dad and had a conversation with Dad about, you don't need to perform. You don't need to do anything. You just need to know me, and you just need to trust that I am real and I am the way and the life and the only way. And it's my belief that Dad had that moment with God, and he finally bent his knee. For what does it say? In the end, everyone will bow their knee, and everyone will...
That's at the judgment seat, yeah.
Yeah.
Confess.
Well, and everyone will confess.
Yep.
Well, I feel like Dad finally got that at that moment.
Neat.
Well, George, again, it's a great opportunity to talk about the different ways in which we suffer in this life. And Brace is a great example of how he's taken the suffering and made it something that has been able to glorify God in what he does and who he is. And what an inspiration he has been to me for my whole life. And it's great having you on the show.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, George, that wraps up our Hour of Real Recovery, another award-winning episode. They're building another bookcase for us to store the awards.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, it's going to be oak. They said oak this time. So anyway, thanks for listening tonight. Have a great week. Good night, everyone. God bless. Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.